Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you again for listening, and thank you again for visiting our sponsors and supporters. And again, I just want to say thank you to Robinson and Stith for signing on as a new supporter. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Diane Bauer.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Welcome, welcome. Pat, you want to start us off on a lively topic.
Well, today was the legal arguments for birthright citizenship, which is a significant issue for our country. And I think most people are aware that there are a lot of women that are coming over here pregnant, particularly from Mexico, where they just hop over the border, have their baby in America, which makes them eligible for their citizens, first of all. Secondly, they get all the benefits. Thirdly, they have the right to vote. China, communist China, has a whole cottage industry of bringing pregnant women over here. And they bought an old hotel. They fill up the hotel with pregnant women. They get their prenatal care, their meals, everything, until they have their baby, which is now an American citizen. And then they take the baby and go home and raise it in China.
Till they're 18.
Yeah. And then when the baby comes back, they get to vote.
As a spy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so at any rate, Trump is the first president in our nation's history to attend a Supreme Court argument, which drove the left crazy. So I saw a video of the wackos outside the Supreme Court. One of them was in their little dinosaur costume.
These are the ones that were protesting no kings back on Saturday?
Yes, same people. And they're out there protesting against getting rid of birthright citizenship.
Why the dinosaur costume, I wonder?
Oh, that's a thing now.
That's their thing.
Yeah. They have it's a blow-up vinyl
so
dinosaur.
So if you want people to take you seriously, you dress up in a dinosaur costume.
Or a unicorn.
Makes perfect sense.
Well, we are talking about the left. You know, if you want them to take you seriously, I mean, just listen to them talk.
Well, that.
Yeah. But at any rate, I did not know this, but apparently there is a special chair in the Supreme Court for the president to attend legal arguments. And no president ever has. But if the Supreme Court was built with that chair in there, it seems to me that the founders intended the president to be able to come over and listen to the arguments. Mm-hmm. But of course, all those people out front were, you know, their heads were exploding because, you know, Trump was in there.
So where did birthright citizenship come from, and how is it that original intent, being that my understanding of the birthright citizenship was for the children of the freed African slaves. Mm-hmm. So how did we get from there to here?
I don't think anybody contemplated that the phrase "subject to the jurisdiction thereof" would end up being the linchpin of the 14th Amendment, and nobody has ever taken it to the Supreme Court, so it's never been construed properly, and it just turned into, if you're here and you're born, you're a citizen. And so the issue has never been addressed.
And how many other countries in the world do this?
I can't think of any.
There are some that are not doing it, like Australia. I think Spain is not allowing it. I don't remember all the specifics, but there were like at least 10 or 11 other countries that are not. They're just not doing it.
I'd be surprised if there are very many.
Because of the influx, you know, I don't think our forefathers thought, oh, look, they're going to be coming in droves over from Europe to have babies or Middle East, anywhere.
And I would think any intelligent person would look at that statement ending in thereof, meaning thereof the United States, not
yes.
thereof China or thereof Australia.
No, it means thereof the United States.
You know, I'm thinking back. We recently did a Constitution course, and the Constitution, within the course, we were talking about, was it Jefferson's letter to the Danbury
Danbury Baptist Church
about separation of church, which was accepted in one fashion up until what, the 1940s or something like that, or earlier in the 1900s, where it all of a sudden got reversed as to meaning that you couldn't speak within church. And the opposite was true. The government could not interfere with a church prior to that. And we're looking at something again that was not previously addressed, and all of a sudden it's taken out of its original meaning from our perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, subject to the jurisdiction thereof is kind of an interesting phrase, because when you learn the rules of jurisdiction in your first year in law school, one of the ways the court establishes jurisdiction over somebody is if they appear in court. So if you appear in the country, one could argue, by analogy, that they have submitted themselves to the jurisdiction thereof. So we'll see.
Sounds to me like that could be cause for deportation then, because when they come in here from Mexico and they're given a court date and then don't show up, they're not appearing in court.
Right. But they're still subject to the jurisdiction thereof because there's an arrest warrant out for them. So the court has jurisdiction over them to have them arrested. So it'd be interesting to see if that argument comes up. But
so is this going to be constitutional or case, and explain the difference?
Well, there's not really a difference. All law is case law unless it's a statute. If it's a statute and it's passed by Congress, it's a law, or passed by state legislature, it's a law. Thou shalt not litter the sidewalk is a statute. That is a law. But if somebody comes in and challenges that law and says, well, I didn't litter the sidewalk, it was something else, then
I littered the grass.
The court has to decide what the sidewalk is. That construction is case law, and the case law helps you interpret the statute. So when you say constitutional law, the constitutional law that you must be speaking of then is just the plain language of the Constitution.
I am.
Okay, but...
because I feel like the Constitution was written for the people that were citizens of this country already, not ones that were coming in. Because if you look at legal immigration, they do follow the organizational, I don't even know how
statutes.
To say it. Yeah, it's statutes. The ones that are coming in illegally. And if you come here on vacation, I can't reconcile in my mind how coming here on a 3-week visit gives that kid citizenship.
Mm-hmm. Well, America has embraced the dirt-based citizenship model, which is if you're in this country and you have a baby, that baby is an American citizen.
We're very benevolent.
I want to get back to the distinction between the Constitution and case law. The all law is case law unless it's the bare language of the Constitution. And all of the case law from the start of this country has been built trying to interpret the language of the Constitution. So we can all have an opinion on what subject to the jurisdiction thereof means. But until the Supreme Court takes it up and says this is what it means in the context of constitutional law, then we know. But that opinion is case law. So Bob seems to think there's constitutional law separate from case law, but there isn't. All law is case law, unless it's a statute. Yes, ma'am.
I don't support birthright citizenship, just showing up and having a kid type thing. However, if by some miracle the Supreme Court gets this right, and I'm not optimistic, what do we do with the kids that were born here? You can't really put the toothpaste back in the tube.
No.
Do we just start from day one and say everything that's gone before
that's
has gone before
think.
And we're leaving that alone?
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
from this day forth, if you come and you have a baby in the United States, good luck, have a great time, go home. The kid's not a citizen.
One of the construction rules for particularly criminal law is no ex post facto. So you can't make a new law that makes stuff in the past illegal so that at the time that you did that act, it was legal, so you had no notice that it was illegal. Mm-hmm. So they can't make it illegal and thus make you a criminal all of a sudden. So yeah, it wouldn't go to the past. Yes, ma'am.
To go back to the people coming here to have their baby, specifically to have their baby, and there are industries that make money doing this. It seems like in order to vote, even here in Craven County, we have to have established residency. So how are we going to reconcile residency and voting, rights that are given to somebody who just happens to be born here but never lived here? They get to vote?
When they come back, let's say the China baby goes back to China and is raised in China, and then they come back when they're 18, they're going to have to live somewhere. They would establish residency. Plus, residency is a state law, not a federal law.
Well, I know in cleaning up our voter rolls, there was an issue with foreign registered voters who had never lived here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point I'm trying to make.
Were they overseas trying to vote?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that would be subject to state law. Yeah.
And again, the question is, did they ever live in North Carolina? They may be a U.S. citizen, but never lived in North Carolina.
Yeah. And that's one of the election security issues, I think, that Trump is trying to clean up, particularly with mail-in ballots, that there don't seem to be any rules. Once you get a hold of the ballot, you can just mail it in, and the various states, particularly the blue states, are liable to pass it.
Exactly. And you also have the situation where you have 500 people registered to an address that's a cabin in a parking lot. You know, we've got problems with that, particularly at our colleges. And as you say, Pat, I think that's what Trump is trying to clean up so that...
Well, let me relate this to the voter registration, the SAVE Act, Save America Act. In order to register to vote, you're going to have to prove you were born here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then under state law, you're going to have to prove you have a residency in some particular jurisdiction, because that's how they figure out where you vote.
And you can't live in the little hut in the parking lot.
Well, that's up to the states. I mean, you can... They can easily run a computer search that tells them how many people are registered to vote at this particular mm-hmm. address, and then it's up to the state to clean their voter rolls. And as we know, most states are reluctant to clean their voter rolls.
Yeah, because you get challenges.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to cheat if you've got to validate everything.
Okay. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And again, we ask you to go and visit them and just tell everybody that you heard about them on CCTA. Mary, what did you have?
I want to talk about a Senate race in Michigan. And the Democrat candidate is a man by the name of Abdu El-Sayed.
Now, he's in a primary.
And he told his staffers that he didn't want to make a statement about the assassination of Ayatollah Khomeini or take any public position on it because there are a lot of people in Dearborn who were sad about the death. And I just want to point out that we need to look at immigration without assimilation, because his district may feel that way. And he was asked, what are you going to do if a reporter asks you about your stand on the killing of the Ayatollah? And he said, well, if they ask me a question, I'm just going to change the subject to President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein and talk about that.
Which is known to be false.
Which is false. But again, this gives you insight into how, number one, this man who is running for the Senate in the primary does not support America. He's talking about his constituents being sad because we killed a tyrant terrorist who has killed Americans in the Middle East and all over the world. And his reaction when asked about it is to change the subject.
And your point is?
Well, it shows us why. During the Biden administration, we never heard talk about Jeffrey Epstein. The files were buried. We never heard anything. But now that it can be used as a political weapon, regardless of the truth or untruth of it, we're hearing about it. And the American voters need to wake up, number one, and realize that we need to get our voter rolls of citizens who support and have sworn allegiance to America.
But I take it back to the illegal immigration and the fact that the immigrants have gone to specified areas to establish their, I want to say, colony. But they assimilate to their own circle, not to assimilate to our culture.
They're not assimilating to the American culture. No.
They're congregating, yeah.
They're keeping their own.
They're partly assimilating. The Somalis learned how to game the system.
Yeah.
But if you go back to America in the, say, late 1800s, 1900s, and you go into New York City, you will find an Irish enclave, an Italian enclave, a Chinese enclave.
They used to call them the ghettos. Like,
if you want really good Chinese food, you go to New York.
If you go to Chinatown, you go to Little Italy, or you go to German town.
But they eventually assimilated. They did not remain in their, I mean, they still have their cultural things, but they have assimilated. I mean, I went to high school with a Polish girl, and their Christmas cookies were amazing because their family kept parts of their culture, but they were Americans and they assimilated.
Well, even when my grandparents came over and they were fluent in German, they only spoke English because it was so important to make sure they came to America. That was the reason, and they assimilated. Now they're not coming to America to assimilate. They're coming
for the benefits.
The benefits and to take what they want.
I think they're trying to take over.
Yes.
And when they come over and they congregate in a specific area and build a voting block, of course they're going to elect a Muslim with their similar ideology. And I think that's how they're infiltrating into our entire society. And I would like to tell everybody that on the news yesterday was a blasphemy law going in place in London. And it never crossed my mind that country would be taken over by Muslims. But this blasphemy law, it doesn't matter if you're telling the truth about Islam. And when it says kill the infidel, if it hurts a Muslim's feelings, you're guilty of blasphemy.
Britain doesn't have a First Amendment.
Meaning you have no right to say whatever
you
want?
Yeah, no free speech.
They're arresting people for Twitter posts.
Wow. They're arresting people on
their
airplanes.
Their rights go back to the Magna Carta. There's no First Amendment. That was new with the new world.
So how do people even talk to each other if you're not allowed to have an opinion?
Well, today I read an article that said that Keir Starmer is the Prime Minister of England, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starmer,
yeah.
Yeah, and now that Trump, they made a connection between Trump telling NATO, go get your own oil out of the strait, that Britain is now, and several of the other NATO countries, is kind of realigning themselves towards populism. So all of a sudden, see, they've had the British police out arresting Britons for online speech. And he just said, that's over with. The police need to concentrate on crime.
How does anybody in Congress get anything done if you're not allowed to have an opinion on something that affects your entire society? That would be hate crime to argue.
Well, you're talking about Congress.
Well, whatever they call
Parliament.
Well, yes. But if they're in Parliament arguing about whether they're going to allow Sharia law or the calling of the prayer time or whatever else, how can you even be in that setting and argue it and not be committing whatever the blasphemy is?
Kim, many years ago, we met a woman from, I think she was from Germany, named Elizabeth Sabatich Wolf. And she was being tried in the EU court of something or other because she taught a class on Islam where she called Mohammed a pedophile.
Now, for marrying a 9-year-old girl.
Now, you could make the case pretty easily that someone who married a 9-year-old girl might be a pedophile. But again, under Islamic blasphemy laws, because that said something bad about Muhammad, it was blasphemy. I don't know if she ever went to jail. We met her when she was on appeal. But that's what goes on.
Well, even worse, in Germany, this woman was raped by a Muslim, and she called him an asshole.
Uh-oh.
and they prosecuted her for defamation.
It's insane. And the crime numbers in the European countries that have had the unlimited immigration, particularly Norway, Sweden, Germany, particularly rape crimes and that sort of thing, have
human
gone
trafficking
through the
skyrocket.
And even Trump has warned them all, you need to stop and close your borders because they're going to just overtake.
Germany hopes that the Syrians are going home.
Yes, they've encouraged them to go home.
Right.
One of the other things we want to discuss, again, plans to develop the Sharia city in Texas. Apparently they were terminated.
Good.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
And
it's gone because it was the establishment would have been totally unconstitutional.
Well, they were set
based on what?
No-go zone.
No, wait a minute. Based on what?
No, because the Sharia law.
Yeah, they were going to run this whole city under Sharia law and
it wasn't a city. Well, it was a compound.
Have their own education system to educate their children.
Just like Catholic schools.
Catholic schools don't encourage you to kill the infidel.
You're arguing apples and oranges. If you have your own compound and you have religious schools, what's the difference between their Islamic...
You're not living there in the compound. Like when you go to a school, a Catholic school, you're not living at the
school. There's plenty of schools where you live there while you
that's
go to college. School.
Well, what they did not necessarily. Waco under Janet Reno.
Waco and yeah, David Koresh.
I'm just making the point. When you say it's unconstitutional, no, it's not. They had all their, they were applying for all their building permits and whatnot, and that's how they attacked the compound, by denying them the permits.
There you go.
But can you run a compound with a separate legal system?
That would have been a legal issue that would have had to be addressed once somebody was harmed by it. You can't bring a case until somebody's harmed.
So if you sent somebody in there after they built the whole thing, and they said something negative about Muhammad, mm-hmm. and they were threatened with jail because they said something about Muhammad, and they sued, that would be the way that you would get it thrown out?
Who sued?
The person that was put in jail because they said something negative about Muhammad.
Well, you're assuming that the compound has its own jail.
Yeah, I am assuming that.
Yeah, well, that's a big assumption.
If you look at the polygamists out in Utah with their compounds, or Denver or Colorado,
yeah,
they have their compounds.
There's no such thing. Yeah, there's no polygamy in Utah. It's illegal.
Well, yeah.
There's a TV
has been.
Show.
Yes.
Right,
escaping
now.
Polygamy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's what they say. There's nothing happening. But, you know, they're not shut down.
I can't believe you guys are citing reality TV to me.
I have to cite something because it's like...
I lived in Utah for 3 years. There is no polygamy
okay,
in
so
Utah.
What, no compounds? No.
No. There's no... It's against the law, and it has been
so
for many years.
So what about in Colorado and Nevada?
I don't know.
It was
know,
like on that
I didn't
border
live there.
Somewhere.
I didn't live there.
Okay. So somewhere around.
Well, there's... There, you know, you do have a constitutional law of free association. So if these women want to live with one guy and call themselves whatever, they're certainly free to do that.
Without to show sister wives?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And then there's the secret lives of the Mormon wives.
I can't believe you guys are going there.
Then there's a Real Housewives.
I don't watch reality TV.
I don't watch them either. But
I just watched that Escaping Polygamy. That
go
was
go
like
back to go back to the Real Housewives of New Jersey, right?
They're all linked to something. We
by
all
the way,
know.
By the way, folks, this is April Fool's Day, so we're recording.
Keep it in mind.
So, what about that new mosque that's being put up in Raleigh? The huge, like. From what I'm hearing,
it's not illegal to build a mosque.
No.
And unfortunately, Boston has a couple that are associated with terrorism.
Cary has a huge mosque, and it is incredibly beautiful.
And I mean, they're generally funded by money from out of the country because their congregations cannot afford to build them. But the one in Boston had connections with the Marathon bombing.
Yes, and didn't they say underneath the ground or something, under in the basement area, they were filled with some sort of ammunition stuff?
I don't know that, but I do
allegedly.
Know that they were... There were two in Boston that were very questionable that had connections to
well,
the marathon.
Well, I assume they're all questionable. I don't want any mosques in our country. And in fact, in Switzerland, I think they passed a law you can't build any more mosques.
Are they religious or are they political?
Yes.
Okay, let me state this again for all time. Islam is a political system. Mm-hmm. It is not a religion. It is a political system. It governs, it establishes their law, their religion, their relations between people. It is a all-consuming system. It is not, here's Islam over here, and here's the government over here. The government, just like in Iran, runs on the Quran.
Right.
And that is unconstitutional.
Well, from our perspective, yes.
Yeah. For us.
For us. Folks, on that point, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
Well,
again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Right.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Around here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from around here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from around here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Where are we heading, Mary?
We're going to talk a little bit about NATO and Iran. We're right now, we're recording this on Wednesday. The president is speaking tonight about the war in Iran. I have no idea what he's going to say or how long the war is going to last.
Oh, by the way, George
Stephanopoulos
tried to embarrass Rubio on his show.
Yes, he did.
By saying that it didn't appear that we had a plan mm-hmm. for Iran. And Rubio said, maybe you should write it down, because we've said it a lot of times. Number one, we wanted to get rid of their Navy. Number two, we wanted to get rid of their Air Force. Number three, we wanted to get rid of the drones and the missiles. And I forget what number four was, but he says, we've said it over and over again. That's what we are doing. If you can't remember it, maybe you should write it down.
And we're ahead of schedule, yes.
Yeah, and we're ahead of schedule.
So
yeah.
Anyway, one of the things that has happened during this war, and this is a personal opinion, is NATO has been revealed for not being the ally that we thought it was.
But it's not NATO. It's the countries within NATO individually.
Okay, that is true. For instance, France has banned overflights for U.S. Army deliveries to Israel.
But let me interject this. Trump has not gone through the procedure in NATO of invoking rule whatever.
Rule 5.
That requires them to come to our aid.
That's true.
He has asked conversationally, you know, you guys need to step up. But he hasn't gone through the NATO procedure.
Okay.
So that leaves the countries free to decide
to
on their
that.
Own.
Politically.
Yeah, politically, what their own jurisdiction wants to how to treat this. And I think it's interesting that France, Macron is in Japan trying to negotiate a fuel source with them.
I'm thinking, again, this is strategy. I think it was done intentionally not to invoke that. So he saw who was going to deny him,
mm-hmm.
flat out deny him, so that he notes that.
Well, I don't think he thought it needed to go that far.
Yeah.
That he just needed to ask them for their help and they would gladly offer it.
You know,
because we pay for those bases.
Right. I'm still saying I'm believing he's ahead of them.
Well, you would think that after that attack on Diego Garcia,
mm-hmm.
which proved that the Iranian missiles could reach Europe.
Correct.
That Europe might have an interest in getting rid of those missiles. I mean, I would think that. Also, Europe gets its oil from things that go through the Strait of Hormuz.
Right.
That is not, thank God for Trump's energy.
They also get their energy directly by pipeline from Russia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank God that Trump has created American energy independence and moved us in that direction.
Well, what's interesting about this pipeline from Russia business is that prior to the war in Iran, Zelensky had leverage because he was bombing Russian fuel dumps and fuel, you know, infrastructure. And Europe was putting sanctions on Russia to squeeze their oil business. Well, now Europe is telling Zelensky, shut the hell up, because we're lifting the sanctions on Russia because now we need their fuel. So Zelensky's leverage is disappearing. And this article made the point, wouldn't it be odd if the war between Ukraine and Russia was solved by the Strait of Hormuz?
And there's also a pipeline that Saudi Arabia is involved
proposed.
In.
Proposed.
Oh, it's already there.
Well, yeah, the one to Israel, the one from Saudi Arabia to Israel, that's a proposed
one. Yeah,
not
that one.
Okay, but there's another one that alleviates the desire to go through the Strait of Hormuz. And that's getting a lot more activity than it was. But again, it is not our sole responsibility to keep that strait open. I don't mind helping. I don't mind being part of the effort to keep that strait open. But it seems to me that the countries that depend on that strait ought to play a pretty active role.
Well, we haven't required them to. We've carried NATO, we've carried Europe on our back since World War II.
Hey, we've gone 47 years with this terrorist hanging over our heads. Why can't we go another 47 years?
Right. But we haven't required NATO. I mean, in Trump's first term, when he simply asked them to pay 5% of their budget into NATO, like they had promised to do, all the press went crazy. People, all the liberals, you know, their heads were exploding. How dare he insult NATO by asking them to step up and do what you promised to do? And now the promises, NATO is even more revealed to be a paper tiger because they got rid of all their military equipment, essentially. I mean, Britain promised to send one ship. That's it. And it can't leave yet because it's in dry dock for another 2 weeks. You know, this is ridiculous, but they've spent all their money on Green New Deal, and they got rid of their energy sources because of Green New Deal.
The windmills, yes.
And they haven't spent the money on their military because they expected us to do it. And we were happy to do it under all our prior presidents.
And Spain has a lot of minesweepers. Spain has the minesweepers, so that was a big thing. Like, why aren't they?
Well, he's a straight-out socialist.
Yeah, we're never going to get help.
Well, I looked up the percentages, and I don't have the article in front of me right now, but I looked up the percentages that European nations are spending on their military, and generally it was about 2%. There were one or two countries that maybe got to 3, but mostly it was 2%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you wonder how long our memory is going to last the next time one of these European countries needs our aid?
See, but then you look at the other result. This is what China and Russia want. They want to split us. They want to fraction that whole NATO.
Oh, I don't think China and Russia are afraid of NATO.
I think they're kind of...
No.
You don't think they're afraid at all?
No. I mean, if you ask them to operate independently and Britain can't even put one ship in the ocean, why would that make Russia or China afraid?
But then how come Russia wouldn't let you... Well, I know because we're in a war. So when you're in a war, you can't join NATO. You have to wait till wars are over to join. But that was part of their thing.
Well, they don't want Ukraine to join NATO because that moves missiles right up on their border.
Well...
That's why.
So they are kind of
afraid of it,
though.
It's as if Mexico had missile batteries right on our border. Luckily, they don't. But would we like that? No. Would we do something about it? Yes, we would.
And we wouldn't wait 47 years. Yeah.
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't wait since 1949, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, plus, Ukraine has always been a part of Russia, not just the Soviet Union, but Russia. Ukraine was the breadbasket of Russia and fed their people. So there's lots of reasons between Russia and the Ukraine that doesn't get any treatment in our press coverage of the war. I think it's interesting that Zelensky's leverage, they're telling him to shut up now.
Let me ask this. Does anybody here think that Iran has the capability of a, what is it, the ballistic missiles that go into outer space?
EMP.
No.
Well, ICBM.
Yes, of getting here with
everything. Well, that's what the Diego Garcia thing was about, because it went almost 2,000.
The distance.
It made 2,000 some plus miles, and Iran had been denying that they had any missiles that went that far. Well, if it goes that far, it can get to London, it can get to Paris. And they were working on getting one that'll come to us.
Yeah.
That is exactly my point.
It was 4,000, yeah, because that's what Israel, Netanyahu said, I told you they had long-range missiles.
But having a nuclear weapon aboard is a whole different story.
Yes. I want to go back just for a second to NATO and take a look at the countries that are paying the biggest share of their GDP to NATO. It's an interesting list. The top five: Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Norway.
Well,
and then the United States.
And four of those were former
Russian,
Soviet satellites.
That's right.
And they
that
know
were
that
taken
that's
over
next.
By Stalin immediately after World War II. They didn't have any say in it. They were taken over, and they did not want to be a Soviet socialist republic. And as soon as they could get out of there, they did, and reestablish a capitalist economy.
And so was Poland. Poland had been taken over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I included them.
Yeah.
The four out of the five, because Norway was the fifth.
I want to go back to the missile and Paris and other countries not wanting us to fly over. Are they so blind that they don't see that our destroying the Iran military is in their best interest? And why would they not want to help us in that?
Part of the problem is many of these countries have a very large percentage of Muslim immigrants.
Right.
And
their constituency.
And you're going to create, you may create a problem within the country if you support the war in Iran.
Well, it's obvious Iran doesn't care about the surrounding countries. They've already been bombing them.
Oh, they've been bombing their allies.
Care.
It's a riot.
They do not care about their constituency. My point is the people in France should realize that Iran being demilitarized is in their best interest.
Yes, they should.
And they should allow us to help them be safe.
But Macron doesn't like Trump.
No.
Here we go again. All about Trump.
It is. That's the whole world.
Trump derangement syndrome.
TDS.
I can't imagine hating anybody more than you hate your country.
Right.
Or more than you hate your own security.
And you got to remember that, you know, you're standing up for the office of the president.
Well, not only that, France is very particular about standing on their honor because they surrendered in both World War I and World War II, and we had to rescue them.
Well, it looks like they're standing on their skirt.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Where are we going? We're going to the SAVE Act.
Save America Act.
Save America Act.
And we all think that John Thune is a weasel for allowing the Senate to go home and for sending over to the House a bill that was not appropriate, a bill that was not going to fund everything that has already been funded.
Yeah, but Kim, they didn't go home. They went to Disneyland.
They went, well, Lindsey Graham did. No, they went home on Easter vacation.
Right. Yeah.
For 2 weeks.
And then they gaveled in and gaveled out to keep, once the House passed their bill, to make sure they remained technically not closed so that Trump could do something, you know, once the closure is. Yeah.
It still boggles my mind that pure population is in favor of this Save America because it's about voting and only people who should be voting vote. 80% of the population agrees with this. This is a purely hate-filled diatribe against President Trump having any win in any way, in any matter, for the good of the country.
Well, if the Democrats ever say we're protecting democracy, we should all just laugh heartily.
We live in a republic, not a democracy.
No, you're missing my point. They claim they're the party that's defending democracy. This mm-hmm. is what democracy looks like. And they're the ones that are opposing
Correct.
A law passing that the majority of citizens want. And when I listen to Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America's podcast, he makes a point every day that when 80% of the population wants something and Congress won't give it to us, they're no longer afraid of the voters. And so we're in service to them. They're not in service to us, which is a very good point.
Which is time to go. Time to vote them out.
There again, term limits.
And we do have one North Carolina senator who is adamant against this.
Against it, Tom Tillis.
But he's not running for re-election.
He's not running
for re-election.
So that's
why he can do
it. And I don't think any phone calls will do anything to him.
No,
he's deaf to the phone calls.
We've had a lot of us phone calling him.
But don't you think Tillis is just, his ego got hurt and he's looking for a job after retirement on CNN?
Probably.
I think he wants to be a political commentator. I think his ego will not allow him to disappear.
He's going to go to MS Now or CNN, one or the other.
Oh, by the way, MS Now, Katie Turr is seriously questioning Trump's acuity. She thinks he's losing his mind.
She does.
And the article said, how could she look at a camera with a straight face when she never once questioned Biden?
Yes.
And say that Trump is losing his cognitive ability.
Well, with this Save America Act, if you can't rent a car without proper ID, you can't get into a hotel without showing a driver's license, you can't make any kind of welfare or food stamps or anything without an ID. So the most sacred act that we have should be casting our vote.
And protecting
the republic that we live in. And it seems like the only reason that the progressive Democrats don't want it is because they need to be able to cheat to win. How else can anybody explain it to me? It's not about what's fair. I can't go to another country and vote. I can't. Why should they be able to come here and vote?
You can't even sneak into another country and not get arrested. Oof.
There was a thing on Facebook yesterday that said what the punishment was for going into other countries. And it's years in jail. It's not a slap on the hand deportation. It's go to jail, don't collect $200.
Yeah, we've had to rescue a lot of people from Mexico from jail because they screwed up going across the border with something. You know, they wandered across the border or something, and they ended up in a Mexican jail. There was a Marine that went across the border. He had a gun with him.
Yep.
And he spent a long time in Mexico.
I think Trump got him out during his first term.
Yeah.
It is April Fool's Day, and I'm just going to change the subject totally, and we can go back anywhere we want when I'm done. But this is a post. We have an administration with a sense of humor. As part of the preparations for America's 250th anniversary, Interior is reviewing wildlife nomenclature to better reflect the nation's history and character. Following this review, the raccoon will be renamed the Liberty Bandit.
That's cute.
Oh, that's cute.
Diane, you wanted to...
I've been watching paint trap videos on YouTube, you know, where the porch pirates...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
...package it, it blows up, it's full of paint.
Oh,
twice now they've shown videos where raccoons come on the...
Oh, no.
...to get the package.
Oh, funny.
Well, the skunk is being renamed the Freedom Fogger.
That's funny.
And what we got here? We have a bear. I don't know what... He doesn't have a name. He's just a bear.
Okay, I'm going to take us a different... Diane, you wanted to bring up TSA.
Well, I think, you know, having ICE present at the airports was a huge benefit. I had a son who was traveling during this whole shutdown, and he commented how smoothly it went. And he's traveled prior, without, and with. And he said they had the lines going. They weren't doing looking out for people and arresting. They were getting the lines moving, getting them through all the check-ins. He said it ran so smoothly that when he was done, he said, thank you. This was the best I've ever had it.
I think if I understand, ICE has been able to just check the ID and then let them go TSA to do the compliance check.
I think the lines disappeared because the illegals all went home.
Well, that could be too.
There's another part of this, too. The Democrats were on the record as saying they wanted to make this shutdown hurt the American people.
Yes.
Meanwhile, at airports, they're allowed to cut the line.
Not anymore.
Delta Airlines, and I don't know about any other airlines, but I know this about Delta, said, no, you're no longer allowed to cut the line. You have to wait in line with everybody else. But it bothers me that our Congress, that is supposed to represent us, did this to put pain on the American people, hoping that would impact the midterms against the Republicans. That's dirty pool. That shouldn't happen.
You said the American Congress. You mean the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, there were some Republicans that went along
with it, too. So do you think that they think that only Republicans fly?
But if they can blame the Republicans for it, the Democrats and the Republicans will both be mad at the Republicans. Nobody who's paying attention blames the Republicans, but...
And I have something on a side note, because I just found out from my friend in New Jersey that the governor there is going to impose, raise the sales tax while FIFA is up in northern New Jersey within a 30-mile radius of the Meadowlands. The sales tax will go up to 9.5%.
What's FIFA?
The World Cup soccer.
It's coming here.
So Mickey Sherrill is now making sure that within a 30-mile radius, she doesn't care if you live there, anybody who purchases anything within the 30-mile radius will now be charged 9% instead of 6%, which is what they were.
And why?
To make money.
But
because all the fans will be coming from overseas.
But they're going to punish their own people. Yes. And then they're all thinking now, once it's raised, it's never going back down.
Well, that's
so
true.
Let's also add, Kathy Hochul is asking all the billionaires to come back to New York because we need your funds to pay for all of this.
That's a hoot.
But those people are moving to the red states and
they're
making
moving
our
anywhere
red states
except,
purple.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, but let's see. The latest company in New York, Apollo Assets, has almost $1 trillion under management. And they've already asked their people, which one would you rather move to, Texas or Florida? Mm-hmm. So they're going to be leaving.
Well, there was a portion of the stock market that has already moved to Texas. Mm-hmm. And again, we're seeing an exodus from blue states to red states. And Kim, I totally agree with you. They can exit us all they want, but please don't turn our red states purple because we don't want it.
But I think we can see that here. If you look at Raleigh, Wake County specifically, and over the last 40 years, the influx of industry, pharmaceutical, Research Triangle Park, IBM was a huge one for the years that my parents lived there. And everybody's coming from the Northeast, from other industrial places. And now Raleigh is blue.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte, another big bastion.
Another indicator is if there's a college there. Greenville's blue.
Yes.
Because of ECU. UNC, blue.
Because of the professors?
Yes.
Yeah, they're all liberal.
All the professors.
So we send our sweet, innocent children to liberal colleges, and they come out with mushy brains.
To be indoctrinated, yes.
And George Washington University is raising their tuition to almost $100,000 a year.
High Point is 80,000.
Horrible.
Wow.
Who would want to get out of college with $400,000 in debt?
Well, go to community college, be an apprentice, and make $100,000 being a plumber or carpet layer.
Even
Boc Ed.
Jimmy Kimmel made fun of plumbers, so nobody wants to be a plumber.
I have a wonderful girl right now that's helping me keep my house straight, and I'm paying her $40 an hour. There's a lot of college jobs that don't pay $40 an hour.
I worked as an administrative secretary and office manager. I never made $40 an hour.
Neither did I.
But how many years ago did you retire?
Be quiet.
Aww.
That wasn't nice.
That was back when we still had penny candy, Mary.
Or pennies, yeah.
Pennies. Save them, they'll be worth 2 cents one day.
That was a low blow. I'm just saying, you don't need a college degree to make a good living.
No.
Look at what landscapers make.
Oh.
I mean, there are... What the progressives might call a menial job that make lots of money. What is that guy standing out on the highway with the stop slow sign?
Oh, he's making like $20 an hour.
At least.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things you can do without getting your brain muddled.
I made money on that, getting rid of the penny, because my change back this morning was a penny and they had to give me a nickel.
Oh, wow.
4 cents.
You're 4 cents
your 401k.
Don't spend it all in one place. You know, folks, again, thank you for listening to the show. We're going to wrap up and say, please, again, visit our sponsors and supporters. This is the CCTA wake-up call. You folks have a great week. By the way, have a wonderful Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.